Okay, let's begin. Well, we want to especially pray for Pastor and our student pastors over in India as they minister to our brethren. They are going over to Visuvasam, which is in Trichy, and they are going to celebrate their anniversary there. So we want to keep them especially in our prayers, and really to be able to rejoice with them. Lord, let's go to God in prayer before we begin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for this very special sense of joy that we can have, even as we look at your work, especially over in India. We think of our brethren in Visuvasam, even as they celebrate their anniversary. We pray that you will continue to bless them, to give thanks for all that you have done in their midst, the work of your hands. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to challenge our brethren, our pastor, Pastor Stephen James, that he will continue to do your work. We pray that you will establish the work of his hands. We pray that you continue to be with pastor and student pastors, even as they travel, and even as they minister, you will pray that. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them and guide them, and ask that you will bring them back safely to us at the end of this week. Be with us even as we study your words together. Bless us, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week when Pastor taught from Psalm 8, it was a very refreshing perspective that he gave concerning how, when you look at all the different psalms that were written previously, really centered on enemies and the challenges of facing these enemies, and to be able to have a break to look at God and his creation was a refreshing change. And to be able to focus on God and to see how great he is and how awesome his creation is. You know, I'm one person who loves to look at nature and the creation that God has given to us. Every night I will go to the balcony to take a look at the stars. And oftentimes you don't see any stars. But there are times when the sky is clear and you see the stars up there. And you know, most recent, I saw the moon. Not that I've not seen the moon before, but in its grand, you know, when it slowly began to show itself from a crescent moon to a full moon. And you know, it was really nice. And before we went for a trip over to the UK in June, my wife bought for me a birthday present. Early birthday present. And there's a camera, and I've been using it. And it was so amazing because that camera, when I took it, I could actually see the craters on the moon. To me, wow, that is amazing. And to see what God has created for us to enjoy. I know that Pastor is not you know, he's one who thinks of God, and for us, we must see God in his creation. But really to enjoy what God has given to us. And, you know, just to be able to dwell upon God and to be able to appreciate him for all that he has done for us and all that he is, truly is really being able to give us that kind of encouragement that we need. And really to be able to look at the next generation that God has planned for them to rise up and to be able to do the work of God. So I thought that Psalm 8 was indeed a wonderful break from looking at enemies. Now we come to Psalm 9. And, you know, after a refreshing time of looking at God and what he has created, now he enters back, or David enters back into looking at enemies. And the first part, he begins with praise. And I thought that was important. In the midst of challenges, and sometimes we need a break, we need to look at God and focus on Him, so that when we go back to the realities of life and its challenges, we can still praise the Lord. We can still find that faith and focus on the Lord in the midst of these challenges. So I thought that how David began his psalm, Psalm 9, was one in which we can learn from. And it is one of a strong word of praise. So in verse 1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will tell of all your marvelous works, and I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So he begins on a very strong note of praise, to give heartfelt praise. Praise that is truly from the whole heart. You know, one of the things that Pastor shared with us last Tuesday was about how, when you look at the heart, what is the heart? Right? To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the heart is oftentimes an expression of the soul or the spirit. And the heart is the seat of your emotion. So on one hand, when we talk about singing or praising the Lord with all your heart, there must be that emotion that is involved. Whether it is a motion of joy, whether it is a motion of love, it is felt. It is something that you know, to do so with the whole heart. Now, the heart is also one that involves understanding. So, in Ephesians 1, verse 19, it talks about how the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart being enlightened. So the heart is something that can see and understand. So on one hand, when you talk about the heart, it involves the emotions. On the other hand, it also involves the thinking, where the mind and the heart are closely related. So when we praise the Lord, it cannot be just an external act. It must be one that is from the heart. So when we sing praises to Him, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I will tell of all your marvelous works. I mean, when we look at God's marvelous works, what is our response? It is to give praise from the heart, with understanding, with emotions, with the kind of love that we show to the Lord. You know, yesterday at morning worship, the One Voice Choir sang. And while we were rehearsing on Saturday and practicing, you know, when I saw them singing, I went out to them and say, you know, we really need to sing truly from the heart. We cannot just sing. We must be able to sing, yes, with the mind, as we understand the words, what we are singing, but we also must sing from the heart. And it must reflect on your face. You know, sometimes when you sing up there on the stage, you don't really see yourself because you can't see yourself, right? People are seeing you. So when you sing, and somehow when you smile, you think that you're smiling, but actually you're not smiling. It may come across that you are smiling or you're attempting to smile, but if you look in a mirror, actually it doesn't come across all that smiley, you know. So you really need to express yourself to be able to bring out that sense of joy. So that was something that I was encouraging the One Voice Choir to do. And last Sunday when they sang, you know, that was something that came true. very glad that Auntie Sally said it was very good. So all we need was one opinion. And that's Auntie Sally's opinion. The rest all, okay, never mind. No, not really. But, you know, it was something that I was glad for them that they were able to do that, to be able to sing with a greater sense of joy, reflected on the way they dressed and so on and so forth. And, you know, to be able to sing with the whole heart. And that's something that we all must seek to learn to do. That I will be glad and rejoice in you. You know, to be able to speak of the works of God and to be glad in God, to rejoice in God, to sing praises of His name, or to His name. To me, that's wonderful, to glorify His name. Right? I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. Now, it's very important that we notice this or we focus on this. It talks about how God is one who is Lord, one who is the Most High. And this is His name. And we want to give praise to His name. We want to honor His name. And this is the kind of focus that we must have, even in the midst of dealing with challenges and difficulties like enemies. So David, you know, if you were to look at the heading to the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son. Now, we really don't know who this son is, but it's probably somewhat of a lament. But in the midst of the lamenting, there is praise. There is still praise. And that's important for us to understand. Now, what are some reasons for us to praise the Lord? You know, oftentimes when we come and worship the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, what is our reason to give praise this Sunday? What is our reason? And the psalmist here, a number of reasons. What is our reason to praise the Lord today? You know, this morning I just praised the Lord for something that I was truly thankful for. What happened was that on Saturday, we came to church and I was looking high and low for my wallet. I couldn't find it. I remember that I saw it on the table at home on Friday, but just couldn't find it. Went high and low, and so I went to the car to check, couldn't find it. So I had to borrow money from my wife for offering over the weekend. Sunday, so that night, I went back home, I searched high and low again, couldn't find it. Right? Came to church, again, looked high and low, went back home, looked high and low, I couldn't find the wallet. And so the only thing that could have happened was this, and that was because last week, we sent the car for servicing, and Jinky rented a car for a couple of days, and when she was able to receive the car back earlier, I had the rented car for 2 days. So I drove it around. And when we returned it on Saturday, I drove the car, we drove the car to church, and then she returned the car. So the only possibility was maybe it was in the rented car. But my wife told me, you know, I checked, don't have. So, okay, then, so that's why I kept searching high and low. I couldn't find the wallet. Wow, so this morning, I told the Lord, Lord, please, I don't want to call the bank, go and cancel my credit card, you know, and then go and do my IC again, and a few hundred dollars inside the wallet. You know, please, can we? Can I have my wallet back? And why? So I called the rental place and I told the guy, please, can you check the car? Can you see whether there's a wallet? Sure, sure, sure. When my man come, he will find something. I will call you back. And see you. So he called me back about 9 something. Oh, it was like great anticipation. My heart was beating. Please tell me, where is the wallet? You say, Mr. Tan, yes. We checked the car. And so all along, I was thinking, please tell me whether you got a wallet or not. Then finally, you say, okay, we found the wallet. Wow, I was so thankful. Immediately, I went down. Please give me back my wallet. You know, so that was cause for joy. That was cause for praise. I really thank God for answering my prayer. And, you know, really, with the whole heart, I really thank God. You know, it is in such experiences that we can thank God. And look at how, even as David faced these enemies, he found reasons to praise the Lord. Okay? In verse 3, he says, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Wow. There is praise because God has given the victory. When enemies are defeated, right? They shall fall and perish. So this was one reason why David wrote the psalm in praise of the Lord, because his enemies turned back in defeat. Now recently we heard in the news about how ISIS in Mosul, in Iraq, they were defeated. That's seemingly the capital of, their main stronghold. And the Iraqi forces were able to defeat them. And the people were rejoicing. And truly that's something that was significant. You know, when you see an enemy defeated, there's much rejoicing as a result. I mean, it's still more to deal with, definitely. But that was a significant victory against the forces of ISIS. So when we find victory like this, that's cause or reason for victory. The presence of God is something that we want to appreciate also. David was very conscious of the presence of the Lord. They shall fall and perish at your presence. Okay? And that God is involved. God is involved in battling against the enemies. In verse 4, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You know, that's interesting. God is there to maintain David's right and cause. It's David's right to desire justice. It's David's right to look to God for help. God is there to maintain that right, that cause. David's cause is a just one against an enemy that is wicked and evil, that oppresses. Let's look back a little bit. Look at Psalm 7. Right, and in verse 1, it says, Lord, O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. Right? And there were a number of times in which verse 9, O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. So we can see that David had a just cause in seeking the Lord, in helping him defeat the enemies. We also see God's presence as one who is on his throne. Right? When you look at God and he is there sitting on his throne, and he is one who is judge. So in verse 4, we read, he sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You know, wow, that's amazing. To think of God as one who is this great, awesome judge sitting on his throne. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. You know, it's awesome to see God as this wise and just judge, judging the nations. You know, sometimes when you look at justice in this world, oftentimes it is flawed. Whether you're looking at human courts, whether you're looking at governments, in more ways than one, we do not have a perfect system. Well, at least they try to. But oftentimes you see many judges where they are corrupt. You know, in India, many of the judges are corrupt. Unless you give them some bribe, unless you give them certain things, they are not going to rule in your favor. So it's very difficult to do things over in India, in the third world countries. But you know, when you look at justice, it is not perfect. In fact, there are many things that would seem as unjust. But God's judgment is always characterized by righteousness, by that which is good and right. Right? I mean, you look at what's happening in the US, right? And you have Trump, who is being investigated, his family is being investigated, and he comes out and says, you know, I have the power to pardon my family and to pardon myself. You know, when I heard that, I was saying to myself, pardon me? What did I hear? I mean, it's like, is it really possible that you can just pardon yourself? I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I mean, it's amazing what's happening over in the US. And yet, you look at God, and you look at the kind of judge that he is. He's always righteous. He's rebuking the nations. Right? I mean, for instance, when you talk about rebuking the nations, right, you have the UN, and they look at nations that are wayward, and they will, you know, slam sanctions on them. That's their way of rebuking them. But yet at the same time, you recognize that sanctions, you know, it doesn't work very much. It doesn't go very far. But when you talk about how God will rebuke the nations, he will reprove them, he will bring about justice upon them, they will not get away with what wickedness, with the wickedness that they would do. And there are times when in which God will destroy the wicked. Look at this. You have destroyed the wicked, and you have blotted out their name forever and ever. What is this blotting out of the name? Now, oftentimes we ask ourselves, why do these, whether they are rulers or those who are in the army and so on and so forth, why do they do these wicked things? And oftentimes, it is for their name. They want to get the upper hand. They want to be able to rule. They want to say, you know, I became famous for this, for that in history. So you had Hitler, you had Stalin, you had all these great so-called wicked people who made a name for themselves, but for the wrong reasons. And yet at the same time, God would blot out their names. God would deal with them. They tend to think that, you know, wow, I will make a name for myself, and it's something that will last forever. But, you know, God would judge them. And God would blot out their names forever. This is what God would do. He is one who is judge. And he will bring judgment one way or another. And you see the kind of wickedness that's there in the world. God will bring about judgment. God will bring about judgment to them in this world. And God will bring about judgment, final judgment, one day. And he will bring about their end. He will blot out their names forever. So it's always good to be able to look to God as one who is judge. Okay. Now at the same time, you want to look at God as this great, awesome person. Look at verse 6. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. You know, understanding God, the person of God, should cause us to give praise and to rejoice in. He's someone that we want to appreciate so much more. So on one hand, we look at God and he is one who endures forever. You know, it's amazing to look at how God, and then you look at man, and the great contrast that is there. So last week we looked at Psalm 8, and you look at how great and awesome by the creation we recognize how awesome God is as creator. And what is man? Man is nothing, zero. A speck in the whole scheme of things. Yet at the same time, you look at men and they are seeking to destroy, to think that they can last forever. But when you look at God, he is the one. He shall endure forever. Right? God will bring about destruction to the enemies, and they will not last. They seem to think that they would have an upper hand on others. They seem to glory in their so-called victories and in pride and arrogance. They think that they would last forever. But it's God who would bring them down, and he would destroy them. Look at all the nations that rose up to do evil. Where are they now? Whether it was Babylon, the Assyrians, they are long gone. Whether it was Germany or Japan in their time when they, during the World War II, when they rose up against other nations and sought to capture them and rule over them, where are they now? You know, it's always awesome to see how God can bring about the defeat of wickedness and evil. Because God is one who will endure. In verse 7 we read, but the Lord shall endure forever.
And he has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness.
This is the Lord, and he is going to judge in righteousness, totally in contrast to what human justice is. I mean, look at what's happening in Philippines, right? And you have this president, Duterte, and he is seeking to clean up the cities and the country of criminals and drug lords and so forth. And he's using extreme force. He's his brand of justice, and it seemed to be effective. In fact, his popularity after over a year continues to be very high, 70%. And people say, continue to doing what you're doing. And you know, he's just basically taking the law into his own hands. Many, whether guilty or innocent, they are killed and they are judged for what they do. And this is his brand of justice. And that's what you see in the world today. And actually, others are following suit. Somehow, when you think that normal justice don't seem to work, evil somehow find a way of escaping the system. You know, they would use their own hand of justice. You know, it kind of reminded me of this movie that I saw a long time ago. It's called Judge Dredd. It's actually a cartoon, and then they turn it into a movie with Sylvester Stallone, right? I think some of you remembered. And very, very long time ago. And he is the judge, jury, and executioner, right? He will do whatever it is. He look at you. You did this crime, and you are judged, and you are deemed guilty, and he shoots the guy. And that's about it. That is his brand of justice. Okay? Well, the movie didn't do too well. You know, that's a kind of justice that we see in the world today, where things are taken into their own hands and to have their own brand of justice. But God's justice is one that is good and upright. In verse 8 it says, he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Uprightness is so important. It's so difficult to look at a world and say, you know, there is a judge that is truly upright. When we look to the Lord, we can recognize this. He is one, he sits on his throne and he's preparing his throne for judgment. You know, sometimes when you look at the world and you see the wickedness that's there, it's not easy to come to terms with. And especially for those that are innocent and they are young and they are weak and they are taken advantage of. You see the wickedness that is there to those where women are taken advantage of, thrown into prostitution, and so on and so forth. I just read a report about how that there was this truck that had people who were trying to get into the U.S., and when finally they arrived at this city across the border, many of them actually died because of the heat, because there was, you know, there was 30 over of them that were squeezed into this trunk. And to me, that is truly evil and wicked. As much as they are looking for a better life, to do that to them and to end up killing them, whether it was intentional or not, is to me evil. This is the kind of world that we are living today. And it's hard. It's hard to come to terms with it. To come to terms that there are times and there are many instances in which evil is gotten away with. And it's so important for us to look to God instead. So important for us to look at God's judgment. Oftentimes we want to take revenge. I don't know whether you read in a newspaper about this elderly man who works in a shipping industry and he has his own company. And, you know, the news was that he killed his son-in-law. They were having a meal over lunch, and then the next moment he killed the son-in-law. And I was asking someone a bit more information about this. And it was likely that this person, this man, married the daughter, had a family, and began to have control over the company. And what he did was that he managed to get another company to buy over the family company at a very low price. And he ended up controlling the company. Well, that was what the person told me. I don't know whether that's true. And he decided to divorce his wife. And apparently, the father went to this son-in-law and wanted to tell him not to divorce the daughter. But he ended up killing him instead. Well, I really don't know whether that's the true story. But, you know, when we take matters into our own hands, when we seek revenge, that's never the way of the Lord. It's never the way of uprightness or righteousness. Ultimately, it is leaving things to God. It is God that will bring about His brand of justice, which is righteousness and uprightness. So sometimes when we have unjust things done to us, and it's hard. It's hard to be able to deal with these things. But it's so important for us to look to God. And to look to God as one who is our refuge. Look at verse 9. And verse 9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed." Wow, that is a wonderful perspective. That He will be a refuge. A refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. Can you say this? You know, I really appreciate the name of God. What is the name of God? In verse 1, He is Lord. In verse 2, He is the Most High. Right? Verse 7, He is Lord. He is refuge. You know, we truly want to appreciate the name of the Lord. God is one who is our refuge. In the midst of wickedness, so you can imagine how David, facing these enemies, his life is at stake. There is God to bring about protection. There is God to bring about refuge. And God will care for the oppressed. India, there are many who are oppressed. Society can oppress you. And there are many who are wicked, who take advantage of women and children, bring them into slavery. They are oppressed. And yet, it is so wonderful to be able to look to God as one who is refuge, a refuge in times of trouble. Whenever we go through challenges, troubling times, it is so important to know that we can turn to God as one who is refuge, to bring about protection, to bring about safety. You know, refuge is something that we constantly need. We are faced with a world that is wicked. We are faced with a world that is full of all kinds of difficulties and problems. It's so good to know that we have a God that we can take refuge in. You know, in India, Pastor was just sharing with us that they are going to take a far more, I mean, the government is Hindu, and yet at the same time, they're going to take a little bit more militant approach to things. And that may spell a bit more, I mean, greater challenges for our brethren over in India. Whenever the government has control, especially the Hindu government, they will always seek to impose their religion in the way they would rule. And oftentimes, whether they are Muslims or Christians, they will be oppressed one way or another. Our brethren over in Myanmar, as much as the country has opened up, there's still difficulties and oppressions. The army can still bring about oppression upon the people. And this is something that we continue to see. So we do want to pray that the Lord will be their refuge. They will have to face all kinds of challenges that maybe for us here in Singapore that we will not be able to understand beyond a certain level. But we certainly want to pray for them that God will be their refuge, that in the midst of the challenges that we will go through in our lives, that He will be our refuge too, that He will be our judge, that He will be the Most High God, and He will be our Lord in more ways than one. And that's why in verse 10, he talks about, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. It's so wonderful to be able to place our trust in God, to know that God has been there all this while. He is a God who is everlasting. From one generation to another generation, He has always been dependable. He's always been there. Enemies will come and go, but it's God who will be that judge for us and that refuge for us. There is no one like our God. It says here, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You know, it's so wonderful to be able to seek the Lord. There are times when we will go through all kinds of difficulties and challenges. So wonderful to be able to go to God and to just be in His presence, to seek Him as our refuge. And God is one who will not forsake those who seek Him. He will not let us down. I mean, this is something for us to rejoice in, something for us to give praise for. To know that God is the refuge for us. He will not forsake us. He will always be there for us as we seek Him. You know, each morning when I seek Him, I look to Him as one who is my refuge. Oftentimes, I will come before Him and I will seek to sense the presence of God. Whether it is through His Word, whether it is through prayer. You know, yesterday I was just teaching a class and I was telling them, when you enter into prayer, when you come before the Lord's presence, what is it that we gain from it? Because I was teaching them about the Lord Jesus as He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and as He prayed. I mean, His focus was concerning the will of God. And He was a great struggle. He was greatly troubled and there was such intensity in His prayer. And as He prayed, He considered, Lord, if it's Your will, take this cup away from me. It was a consideration that He had, that He prayed about. Yet at the same time, He said, not My will, but Your will be done. And also when you enter into prayer and you look at the example of the Lord Jesus, and you look to Him as one who would help you understand the stress of life, the difficulties that we go through, and the great suffering that the Lord Jesus was going to enter into. Enemies will come and they will take Him away and it will bring about great pain and it will bring about suffering and they will put Him on the cross. But how was He going to enter into this? And it was in prayer. It was in the presence of God. It was in the presence of His Father that He was able to focus on that which is the will of God instead of His own will. So it is in prayer that your perspective changes. It is in prayer where you are able to find that focus to face the realities of such difficulties, such great stress. I mean, the Lord Jesus, when He prayed, there was such intensity. It was such a great struggle. And yet He was able to look to God and to find that refuge and to look to God as one who is there for Him. I mean, God sent an angel to strengthen Him, to support Him when He needed it the most. And that He was able to rise from it, being able to understand the will of God and submit Himself to be obedient to the will of God. Absolute trust in Him. You know, that's what prayer should be. That's what coming to the presence of God should be. That you enter into prayer and there is that sense of consciousness of who God is. He is our Lord. He is God Most High. He is Judge. And yet He is refuge. So important for us to focus on God, to leave this world in that sense. this world of oppression and difficulties. So as much as Summit, it was a break. He didn't want to dwell very much on the enemies. He looked at God, creation, what God would do in the next generation that would deal, yes, with the enemies. But even as he entered into Psalm 9, he continued this spirit of praise. And he was able to do this because of the kind of focus that he found in God. That he was able to look to him and find that special sense of refuge. That it is the name of God that should be uplifted and praised. Yes, in the midst of troubles like enemies, it is not easy. But God will deal with them. God will not forsake us. No matter how far, no matter how difficult things are, God will never forsake us. God will always be there for us. His presence will be there for us. It's so good to be able to look to God, to put our trust in Him. You know, trust is not something that can be easily done. But yet we need to put our absolute trust in God. Yet we need to seek the Lord. We need to find Him. We need to come before His presence and to know that as we enter into prayer, as we look to Him, He will never forsake us. He will never let us down. You know, man can let us down in more ways than one. Sometimes you depend on them to do certain things. And yet, you know what? Things don't turn out the way we hope it to be. We depend on them to get things done. You know, we've been having a bit of difficulty with the AVA at the fourth floor. And those of you in YEG, you will know this. Every time when we have a meeting, right, and before we even begin, the system is not working. And we keep asking them, please ensure that this is done. I mean, the contractor. So they will come and they will fiddle this, they will fiddle that. And then you expect, right? If you change something, right, make sure that it is done properly so that when the system is being used, it can be used, right? I mean, that is something that you expect of the person or the contractor. But in the last couple of weeks, every time when I go to, you know, at 3 o'clock we start, and about 2:50, I see people scrambling here, scrambling there, looking for this wire, looking for that wire, and they really don't know what's happening. And I look at them, and they look at me. I say, please try and get this done. And again and again, you know, our meetings are delayed because of this. And you know, it happened once, happened twice, and you think, okay, things are resolved. And then the third time, third week, last Saturday, it happened again. And we don't know why. I think we're going to fire the contractor as a result. I don't know. But you know, somehow things just don't work as we hope it to be. And we hope that this can be resolved and so that the young adults, we can start on time and then we can get on with our meetings and so on and so forth. Somehow, you know, each time when we look at the challenges that are there, can we depend on God? And the answer is yes. Can we place our absolute trust in Him? The answer is yes. So even as we study this psalm, what is it that we want to learn from this? I think the first lesson for me is that when you look at praise, it truly must be heartfelt. It must really come from the heart. even in the midst of challenges. I think it's easy to be able to give praise when things are good, right? When things are better, when things are going well, we can thank God. But can we praise in the midst of challenges? So I was talking to somebody, and this person was telling me that he had a bit of experience with something that wasn't too nice, and he was telling me that his office was having some A&A, and so they were doing some A&A on some renovation on the second floor and the third floor, and they were doing something with the toilets and so on and so forth. So he decided, okay, no choice, I have to go to the first floor. So he went down there, and before he knew it, he heard this sound, and then he looked up, and water came down upon him. And I don't mean just water. And you know, he was so angry. He was like, what's happening? And you know, it was his greatest fear came true in that sense. He tried to avoid all these things, and then he went downstairs and it happened to him. You know, he was so, you know, so he had to go home and change and so on and so forth. But you know, on the way back, he calmed down and he began to thank God. He said, thank God. Thank you so much that the ceiling did not fall on me. And I thought that was an interesting perspective. Water is better than the ceiling. But at least he learned to thank God. You know, he was just sharing with me, you know, Pastor Mark, I just thank God that I'm still alive, that the ceiling did not fall on me. And I thought that was an interesting perspective to have. Even though he had to go through a wet experience. Well, thank God through our A&A, none of us had to go through something like that. But can we still thank God and praise God in the midst of challenges? I think that's something that I'm learning to do. Can we find reasons to praise the Lord? And especially concerning who God is. We can look to God as one who is judge. God will bring about his judgment. Can we thank God for that? The answer is yes. Can we look to God as one who is our refuge? The answer is yes. We must praise God and trust him for all that he would do for us. Can we not praise the Lord for the work that he does? The answer is yes. There is his presence, there is his person that we want to appreciate, and ultimately we want to be able to look to God and exercise our faith and trust in him. You know, faith is something that we are all learning, whether it is at Sunday school and whether it is in our worship services. I mean, faith is something that we want to be able to cultivate further. And faith in God in helping us establish the work of our hands. You know, even as we look at celebrating our anniversary, 44 years, the Lord has blessed us and guided us. Have we had our own fair share of challenges? Have we had our own fair share of opposition? The answer is yes. And there have been those who have sought to go against us, say things against us. And yet, God is one that we look to be our refuge, you know, we leave it to the Lord. We're not going to pray and ask God to judge a person or that person or anything like that. But God, in His own special way, in His own justice, He will bring about the kind of justice that is only from Him. We can always look to God as one who we can depend on and to look to as our refuge. So even as we celebrate our anniversary, you know, there's much for us to rejoice in looking to God, in watching over us as a church, and that He has always sought to keep us in more ways than one. So I hope that as we study this psalm, praise will be something that you will continue to cultivate. Praise will be something that will be there in the midst of challenges. And that's something that I'm learning to do also. So let's praise the Lord with our whole heart. Let's go to Shangri-La and look forward to a wonderful time. Let's look at all the works that God has been doing in our midst. This Sunday, we will have the special needs ministry, and they will be leading in worship. And it's something that we can rejoice in, to see how these who are facing great difficulties in their life, they can be specially looked after and cared for, and that they can come to know the Lord also. Truly, we really thank God for this work that the Lord is doing in our midst. So let's rejoice and let's give Him praise for all the marvelous works that He's doing in our midst. But let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to give You praise. Praise from our heart for all the wondrous works that You have been doing in our midst. We thank You for who You are. You as judge, You as our refuge. That even as we look at the world that is filled with wickedness and there's such injustice, we pray and thank You that we can look to You as our righteous judge and that You would deal with things accordingly. That we can look to You in the midst of challenges as our refuge. That we can find solace and safety, and that we can seek You, that we may find a greater sense of understanding and perspective to face the realities of this world. So we pray, Lord, that You will give us that faith and trust in You, to look to You always. And there's much for us to rejoice in and to give praise for, even as we celebrate our anniversary. Thank You, Lord, for watching over our church this 44 years. We recognize there have been others who have sought to go against us. And yet at the same time, You have kept us and protected us. We pray, Lord, that You will just continue to keep us. Ask that You will bless us even as we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Good night and God bless.